Welcome to The Ether. Today is Monday, April 4th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects and check them out online at glowyield.com. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, Super Terra with Terra NFTs, community dynamics and growth. What are the key drivers? Let's take a listen.
Okay, I should get things kicked off. So thank you everyone for joining us here again for this regular weekly spaces. We're back at our normal time, although as someone pointed out, it's an hour difference. That's thanks to daylight saving in different parts of the world. The UK has just gone into our British summertime, and as a net result, it's got about 10 degrees cooler. It's almost like it knows. So we'll stick with this same time every week, and ideally the same day every week, throughout the rest of the year. That is the plan. That is the plan. So we've done a number of deeper dives into individual projects, had a really good in-depth discussion with a number of projects last week, including Terra Movie Club. This week, we really wanted to delve more into community dynamics and how that drives the growth, and indeed what the other key drivers for growth are in NFT projects. I think by way of kind of teeing things up, I think in the last 24 hours, there's been some quite exciting developments. One that really caught my attention only a few hours ago was the announcement by Luna Bulls that they're going toxic with some sort of change to their Tesseracts. It's a nice teaser. And I think they're a great example. I know I cite them quite regularly, of a community-led project that's constantly evolving and developing. It's great to see amongst our early number here a very familiar face who's involved in that project and many others besides. So good to see Andre on the call. And of course, we're all looking at other developments from Bulls and beyond. I see Hellcats and indeed LuArt more generally have teased some very interesting activities. I think it's fair to say at this point we've reached a point of potential major change in the Terra NFT space. There's a lot of buoyancy around the market anyway, with the growth of Terra Luna hitting an all-time high a couple of days ago, and very nicely just off that as we speak, and also lots of seemingly warming up legislation type activity happening globally. I think something notable in my country today is the government's announced, not quite sure about this, an NFT that our National Postal Service are looking to launch later this year. So given their track record on delivery, I won't hold my breath, but we'll see what happens. Okay, well, let's get things teed up. And as I say, we've got a couple of speakers already, but I appreciate it is early for Simon, and I do apologize. I made it an hour earlier with the time differences. Simon, if you want to sort of chime in, and then we'll get the debate and discussion underway. We've got a couple of speakers up already.
Yeah, he made me get up at 6 a.m. No, it's good. I love being here, and I love spending, time on these spaces every week and exploring topics. And, you know, this topic here is one that I don't have huge experience with. It's not one that, you know, I'm more of a learner. And I think both me and Super Terror are like this every week. Like, you know, there's topics that we've got more knowledge in than others, but we also come up and we learn through here. We learn a lot through these spaces as well. So it's really good to be able to ask good questions, add some stuff where we can and where we are knowledgeable, and then just explore, you know, different topics and let the community be open about this, and, you know, be an open discussion and debate. So if you've got any questions or things to add, feel free to jump up as a speaker and ask those questions. And we've got some great speakers up. I think one of the best spaces that we've done, I can say for both Super Terror and me, was actually an interview with Strange Clan from over in Cosmos. And that was an incredible space. So it's just been amazing to make some great connections and have some great speakers and some great input up here as well. So awesome. And I look forward to seeing the direction this call takes, and I'll jump in where I feel like I can add some stuff.
Perfect. Thanks, Simon. You can get your revenge later in the year when the clocks change. So first of all, let's bring up our first speaker. So Oxu literally, I think, jumped on the request button almost within seconds of me starting this Spaces. So great to have you here. What are your thoughts on Terra NFTs, and particularly thoughts around community dynamics? We'll welcome all of those. And anyone else just joining the call, I can see some familiar names and faces. Please do press request. Be delighted to hear from you. Ox, the floor is yours.
Yeah. So thanks for having me. So I wanted to say about the Terra NFTs right now. All the blue chips NFTs having their floors swept. And that's a very good thing to see. I think it's because of the Terra Luna itself hitting all-time highs. That's the effect of it on the NFTs hitting all-time highs. Other than that, you probably told about the Luna Bulls. They have some announcements, and also Wrecked Wolves having some kind of new collection coming up. So that's why there was a lot of Wrecked Wolves were selling for above the store prices. And yeah, overall NFTs are going good in Terra Luna. And about the Skeleton Punks as well, there were some issues with them, with the team. Some fellow ran away with the funds and stuff, but they came back very strong, and their community is very strong. I think overall all the community around the Terra is very strong, and that's one of the examples you can see. Yeah, what's your thoughts about the recently floor prices are going up? What do you think?
Well, I think you touched upon several interesting areas there. And obviously, in terms of the floor prices, I think a number of projects have actually rallied very well. Galactic Punks, of which I sort of looking from the sidelines, their floor price has been going up quite aggressively. I think it's been driven by a number of factors. They're obviously a very innovative community, the very vocal community, but also I'm seeing a lot of, I would call it, new money coming in from different parts of the crypto ecosystem. There's some quite hefty purchases taking place from people who seem very keen to join. I've also seen the same with Luna Bulls. The floor there is starting to rise again. I think your point about the increase in the price of Terra Luna, absolutely there's going to be a down weighting on floor prices if they're denoted in Luna, because obviously, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago we were looking at Luna at around about sort of 50 to 60 UST. It's now pretty much double that. So even if the floor price stays the same, it's a doubling of actual UST value. But I think your other really good point was obviously around the attempted rug by a certain individual who I shan't give the credit of naming. But I think it's fair to say that the real kind of brains behind that operation and passion behind that operation has massively saved it, along with the community. And maybe that's a good place for us to go next. I mean, essentially, there's a project that could have died with the theft of a significant amount of money by one individual, whereas in reality, it's actually showed to be incredibly resilient and very quickly bounce back. And I think we've seen some community gathering. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, that's very good. from the start, like, you can see, you know, that fellow from Skeleton Punks, the founder of it, like, he never came up, like, into any spaces, or he never spoke, or even in this Discord, like, you weren't seeing him, like, you know, in the chat or anything, like, and all we can hear about him, like, he's working in the background very hard and stuff like this, and all of a sudden, like, he just vanished, like. And overall, I'm saying, like, yeah, the community is very strong with Skeleton Punk, especially. And there's a couple of fellas there, like, they're all the time there, like, looking for good deals and stuff, and sweeping out the floor. And yeah, they recovered some of the one-of-one NFTs they lost because of your man selling in for cheap prices to run away with the money. And there was through them for Angel Protocol. They had it for them, like, for charity purposes. And he probably, I think, sold them as well. But they have them back now. And yeah, they're going strong. And the founder now, I mean, the bullying and admin now, he's handling very good project. And they are working on staking as well. And I think it's almost finished, the staking thing. But they have to do the audit now. They're probably raising in the staking mechanism in 1 or 2 weeks. So that'll be a great thing to see how that works out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Boolin has massively rescued that situation. Certainly the other founder, I actually hosted an AMA. It was a great pleasure to do so. The other founder I never spoke to. So he was clearly busy doing something, but it wasn't anything that was very visible other than to perhaps enhance his wallet. But there we go. I think that will be dealt with in the appropriate way by the authorities. So I'm not going to dwell any more on that. Now, thank you for that. Ox, we've got quite a number of people to potentially come forward. So now appreciate that. We'll perhaps come back to you a little bit later on. But it'd be great to bring in Randall now, who's a regular on these spaces. Great to see you again. Really kind of looking for your thoughts, and you always give me good tangents and things I don't think about. So I'm going to hand the mic to you to give us your thoughts on tonight's topic.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here. I love the fact that I am now not so much focused on just speaking in spaces where it's all about ETH projects. So I love that I myself and becoming more diverse with the communities I'm kind of engaging with and the people I'm engaging with. And it just brings a lot more knowledge. And I feel like there are things that definitely I can take back and learn and maybe even share, you know, with others that are new to this space, especially, and not just promote them to go on OpenSea, which is, you know, always chaos. So having kind of understood that, I actually spoke with Badgers down there and the listeners. I met the team. They're wonderful people. And they were, you know, just taking me through the entire ecosystem. Quick breakdown, I guess, of the ecosystem of how Terra is in comparison to, you know, Sol or even OpenSea. Like, just literally the way the population is, I would say, or like the number of users. And I find that very fascinating, and I find it like such a great opportunity where, you know, because the news is always about, like, you know, ETH projects, and there's always scams related to it, and there's always problems with Ethereum. And I think that's such a great opportunity where your community is still growing, and you can learn you can learn how to suss out, you know, projects that are creating that same type of environment, because it's definitely not welcome on the, like, other blockchains. But for sure, I can understand that when it does come, as you just mentioned, like, there are people who are continuously doing scams. I mean, you, as much as you change the type of secondary market or blockchain, humans are always going to be humans. So their behaviors are not going to change. If they came in with the idea to scam or to, you know, basically rug pull an entire project that had everyone invested in there, there is an opportunity for great recovery because your community is still growing. So I really appreciate the fact that there was such a great example brought up by 0x. I hope is that how I say your name?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure. So I think Well, what can I say? Take the opportunity if you're on Terra, if you're trading with Luna, if you're trading with pretty much any currency that has not any blockchain that has not yet reached its level of maturity, you know, experiment. I think the hardest thing to do is try to build so much structure around yourself where you're trying to be the perfect project, because by all means, Bored Apes, like all these blue chip ones within Ethereum, you know, they were not perfect when they started. They were not the ones came up with the master plan. They didn't even know what their vision was at times, I'm sure. And the fact that you have such a small community, you know, it's like living in a small country or small.
Oops, I don't know if anyone else has lost Randall, but I've lost the audio there, so we can do a thumbs up or something.
Yeah, yeah. I have as well. Just kind of just lost you.
Yeah, sorry, Randall, if you can hear us. I think there's a bit of an audio issue at your end. But no, it's fascinating. I think one of the interesting things for me is as you point there about the OpenSea situation, it is a bit it's a challenging landscape, I think, as you put it politely. There are some very, very good projects on there, but there's a lot of noise on there, I think, as well. But by default, it's heavily dominated by ETH. But there are obviously a raft of other opportunities in other currencies coming into there. And I think something maybe is worth touching upon here is the fact that Hero, of course, are already across two chains, Solana and Terra. They are also in the process of launching on the OpenSea platform. I can see Randall appears to be on twice now, but neither of which is speaking. So hopefully we'll get Randall back shortly. The joys of Twitter spaces, I think we're all used to these by now, anyone who's been on for any length of time. I can see a really healthy audience and some good familiar names amongst them, some new ones as well. So whilst we're waiting, do feel free to press the request button if you'd like to step up and join the debate. Really what we're looking to tease out tonight is kind of those often less tangible factors that really differentiate a really successful project from the rest of the pack. You know, what really defines that that kind of community dynamic? And I think we did touch upon a really interesting one for those of you just joining with regards to the sort of the rug situation with Skeleton Punks, which in the end wasn't a rug, just one individual heavily exposed and the rest of the community rallying round one of the, you know, the key forces that really got the project into, you know, public consciousness in the first place. So really good example of a power of a community. That could have easily have sunk the project and thankfully hasn't, because I do admire what they're trying to do. And I can also see that Randall is back. We lost you significantly. You're in the middle of a really interesting speech as well.
Can you hear me? My hotel Wi-Fi is terrible. I'm in London, so hotel Wi-Fi is always going to be terrible. Can everyone hear me clearly?
Yeah, it's really good now. Yeah, loud and clear, and I can empathize on hotel Wi-Fi.
Where did I leave off, or what was said last before I jumped in? Because everything was quite ruggy.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember myself because I did a lot of filler in between.
Okay, well, maybe we can get right. I guess you were maybe speaking about the drivers of like communities, or like what drives them, and the example of what were they called, Galactic Punks, that rallied together.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Oh no! Sorry, it was actually Skeleton Punks that had the rally together. Galactic Punks are a very successful project, but Skeleton Punks were the ones that had an individual who made off with proceeds that were not theirs to make off with, and potentially caused damage to the project. It's been pivoted back, and there's been some really good recovery since then, including a recovery of two NFTs that were intended for charity that have now been reclaimed by the project. So it was what I call a partial rug by one individual, but saved by really the community and the power of support for one of the other founders, who most assuredly is not rugged.
And you know what? I can tell you from just observing all the nonsense, if I may call it that, that happens within OpenSea, that happens within projects that go into OpenSea or trade on Ethereum. A lot of times it is completely filled with people who are looking to be the next blue chip rather than focus on community. And no, I'm not, of course, trying to generalize that every project is doing that, but I think you hear a lot about community, community, community. You focus on marketing, you focus on giving, you focus on, you know, building and increasing that lovely number on Discord so you can always showcase it. Like, yeah, we have 400,000 people on Discord. But when it comes to something like you, what you just mentioned, Terra, Super Terra, it is something that is hard to find in any blockchain. Like, it's hard to find a group of people who actually just believe in the project enough so that they're ready to stick around even after, you know, the first sign of panic should have let everyone just dump it. It's something that you always see. And I think it goes to show the quality of your community. Forget the fact of the size. I mean, if we're comparing sizes here, there's, you know, you're always going to be on the back foot. But if you're comparing at the quality of what you have, you're actually quite fortunate, I would say. I don't find it, you know, if any project ever has just a hint of a rug pull happening, people will dump it. I mean, dump it as in like it will drop out of the list. It will probably drop out of the blockchain if it could do that. And the fact that you're able to have that control through communication is such a unique aspect to bring in. And I think that's such an important part to that community, the fact that you have that streamline of communication where there is still trust. You know, it's like being an employee to a company. That would be the perfect example, that you came in believing in what you're doing, believing in what the company's doing, and irrespective of just one bad action that is taken by an individual, it doesn't reflect on the overall presence or the overall representation of that project. And yeah, that I think is so important, the fact that you have that communication community.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that transparency, and actually events like this, not this one specifically, but when projects do their own AMAs and what have you, that sense of in some cases, totally doxing or being very transparent on who you are, what you're planning to do, I think also gives massive credibility. I think when you touched upon, you know, some of the challenges in OpenSea, I've read some very disturbing context of how projects will pump up interest using you know, nefarious means, black hat approaches to make a project appear to be hugely successful and then obviously run off with proceeds. And that's something that, yeah, we need to be careful that doesn't happen in Terra. But I think that the community acts as very good guardians against bad projects. I'm not pretend that we're immune from them, because we're absolutely not. But I just think that the vigilance is there, and we just need to keep calling it out as we do as a collective, because ultimately bad apples will rot the barrel, and we don't want that for Terra. I don't think anyone wants that for Terra, or for any chain for that matter. Delighted that Badgers, who of course you mentioned, Randall, in your slightly hotel Wi-Fi affected piece, Badgers has stepped forward as a speaker. Badgers, you have the floor.
Thanks. Yeah. First of all, thanks for having us. And what was just mentioned, I think it's also because Terra is just really, really small for now. So we discussed this with Randall last week. And the amount of active NFT addresses on Terra is just around 10,000, the last time I checked it. And on Ethereum, it's like over 1 million. So obviously, people will jump to the next opportunity as soon as they can and drop whatever they can when there's a sign of a rug. But on Terra, they might be able to still save it because it's such a small community.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It also brings its own challenges, though, in that, and this was a good discussion that I had a few weeks ago, where because it's quite a small community, if you like, oversaturate the market with new launches, there's only a limited amount of, you know, wallets, people, funds that go around. So we almost need to get to that happy point where we've got a large enough base of users that the space can really grow, but also the management of bad actors is there as well. But no, it's a really good point, and it's a really good challenge. So yeah, Randall, please step forward, sir.
And thanks, Badger, for adding the facts. I'm obviously still not well read on facts for any blockchain for that matter. And I just wanted to ask the question of, because I think you mentioned that there are challenges to it. And I think the first challenge that came to mind is if your project is focusing on being very competitive and trying to obviously, include other those who are holding NFTs from other projects to come into your project, obviously there's a easier or more transparent reputation between projects, like, which ones are the good ones because they are, I guess, even more limited. And I guess most of you who have been there since day one or have come in are probably well connected or able to connect with those people. So the challenge I would say is, how many projects out there within that platform, within that secondary market and blockchain, are actually trying to onboard new people into this space? Because a lot of times, like now when we look at something that is a bit more fast growing, like OpenSea and Ethereum, people tend to, talk to their friends and try to bring on new people within their own life onto it. And a lot of times, even new people that come in by themselves and get curious, there's a lot of, it's almost like wolves, after a sheep, like the newcomers completely just wondering what to do, looking around. And then you have all these big projects or these new projects that are like wolves, like, hey, on board with us, we're so great. And they just try to bite at you all day and night. And I wonder, what is the challenge, or are there any projects out there that are doing something not so similar to that, of course, but are they doing anything like having an onboarding program within their project? Maybe an educational platform that's directed to people that are new within that blockchain?
I think it's a really good one. And I suspect Simon will step in shortly because he's at the heart of several kind of initiatives on education, not least Loop Learn, where we are actively encouraging new people to onboard. Several of the projects have done some very good onboarding opportunities. A good example would be Terra Movie Club, who we had on the Spaces last week. We did a bit more of an in-depth discussion with them. They're doing a kind of a novices onboarding sort of cartoon type approach. I think the interesting thing is you mentioned about the wolves, and I certainly see it every day in Discord. I get those bloody annoying spammy, you share one server with them and it's never one in Terra, and they're trying to get you onto some garbage project to basically boost their whitelist spamming, so they always get blocked. And I guess as a newbie it could be quite overwhelming because you get all these different projects coming at you very quickly, after your precious currency. Whereas I think, and yes, absolutely, there's a lot of projects in Terra. But the good thing is, because we're a relatively small community still, you can fairly quickly get a sense of, what each project is about. And I'll give a shout out to Wrecked Wolf. That's a very good Discord where they review up and coming projects and the community rates them. So you have a sense of what the projects are about. Events such as this, there's lots of articles and coverage. What I like is, personally, if a project's willing to talk to you, they're usually pretty good. If you can actually listen and talk with someone, if they don't want to talk to you, that's usually a red flag. Now, I know it's a much smaller world, if you like, than the ETH world. But I guess the point there is the community wants to hear from the individuals behind the projects, and they want to hear those voices. Sorry, Badgers, do you want to step in?
Yeah. So as a new project on Terra ourselves, I can tell that there's also a lot of quality control going on between the existing projects. So, for example, people are reaching out to us right now and want to do collaborations, but they'll check with us. They're looking into who's the team, what's the roadmap before it's even public. They'll check all that. So there's, yeah, what I really like about Terra is that, for example, Hellcats reached out to us to work together, but they will really go deep into are these people legit? Are they having a great roadmap? What's down the line? Who's the team? So that's another thing that's an advantage of having a smaller ecosystem for now, that the existing projects just do quality control on the newer projects, because they all want us to grow, but they'll look after their own community by making sure everything's legit with the newer project, if you know what I mean.
Totally. I think there's an element of self-policing there, and certainly I do that as well. When a project approaches me and says they want to either do an interview or want to have a chat, I kind of ask them a lot of searching questions around the depth, the thought, because what we all want to understand, and I did cover this on a previous spaces and a couple of interviews I've done, around, if you like, the red flags. And actually the first thing you've done is you're talking, you're there, you're visible. So that's a green tick as opposed to a red flag. But I think, yeah, as a community, we're still small enough that those projects that have, led the way, they really want to make sure that anyone that they recommend to collaborate with is legit. But equally, what I do like, and I think to your point, they do reach out. I reach out myself. We all reach out. So we want to understand who the new projects are, because we're looking to help them. I think most projects are absolutely legit, and as soon as you have those conversations and realise, then you help them. The ones that are less so, generally they don't flourish, and I think that's because there is that element of probably the size helps. Who knows? In 18 months' time, if the space is 10 times the size it is, which it could well be, and I always cite this on these calls. Here we are in April 2022, 12 months ago, there weren't any NFTs in Terra. The first ones were only coming out in very small numbers in August of last year, which in crypto terms is centuries ago. But in real dynamic terms, we're less than a year in. So imagine what it's going to be like in another 12 or 18 months. Sorry, a bit of a ramble here at the end. I'll let Simon jump in now. I can see he's ready. He's awake enough.
Yeah, my brain takes a bit of catching up. But it's good to listen as well. Some amazing topics dropped. I think, what's really powerful for us, especially as a community from an early stage, is an opportunity to not start from scratch, but really build the culture that we want to create. And I think one of the biggest and the most important things is, especially bringing in new users in, is voting with our wallets, right? And educating on voting with our wallets. And, really, really setting a really high standard for what a great project is. And if you do that, then I think, currently, the problem with having all these projects come up is they've seen, pretty average projects maybe sell out or mint out and raise in price. And then people start making copycats of projects that maybe aren't great. And then you just end up with a lot of, low quality projects, and people just buy into them because they know that, they sell out, they do well, and then you get like a self-fulfilling prophecy that happens. And this is crypto anyway, and it's unavoidable in some shape or form, especially in meme cycle. If you're in meme cycles or if you're in bull cycles, you're going to get that. I think what's really great is really encouraging and pushing projects to push the boundaries of what is a great project. And if we vote properly with our wallets on projects that really put a lot of thought and energy into it, then we can set a standard into what a great project looks like. And I always come back, I've always been coming back to Strange Plans. I know that we've obviously got a lot of great, but if you set a standard for a project that's to that level, that's really high, I'm not saying that everybody has to get there, but if you set that standard for your blue chips, right, and everybody votes with their wallets and, doesn't mint out on the next project that they think they're going to flip really quickly, and they focus on good projects, good teams and stuff like that, then we can start to build this culture around quality and set the bar higher for new projects coming in, beginners knowing that, this is what a good project looks like, and then this one maybe not so much.
I love that you touched on that, Simon. Sorry, can everyone hear me, or am I rugging?
No, that's pretty good. Your hotel's holding up.
Yeah, thank God. I might have to keep checking every time. I think you have such an opportunity to be as creative, and this is something I spoke about with Badgers as well. Like the fact that you are still a growing community overall, you should, explore like how much more you can do, because now you're not so much in the business of cash grabbing, whereas, a market like where I'm on, it's all about, okay, either give me lots of utility where I feel I'm ready to pay that price, or just give me a chance to pump, buy in as many and completely dump it and just make my profit and go out. Perfect example, yesterday, earlier today in the morning, it's still Monday for me. There was a project called Women of Azuki or something around that line. It was like World of Women art kind of combined with Azuki. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's like a Japanese anime inspired art. And basically those two combined, it was a free mint, and there were enough people on there that made at least an ETH yesterday. And by that, I mean, they bought into as many as they could. They minted out as the maximum, I think, was 20. And they sold it all for like 0.1 each, right? So that project was trying to build something. I'm not certain, of course. They didn't come out on Twitter and host a Twitter space. They didn't do any of the communication that you normally should be doing. They tried to do a stealth drop. People picked up on it and dumped it completely. Like the value of it went all the way up to 0.2 or 0.3 and then completely went back down to like 0.01. And that culture is so prominent here because people know that blue chip projects or projects that are going to be worth a lot require you to invest a lot more time, talking to the founders or talking to the community, and it needs to keep growing, and it's going to take months and then they launch, versus here, I guess, where in Terra you have an opportunity to really curate what projects are coming in, maybe even reach out to them and advise them like, look, if you're going to come in to our community, you need to be able to at least meet the standards. And these are the kind of standards, like what you should be doing. And the fact that you can have that communication, I think, is such an advantage. That no, it's a dynamic that definitely a lot of other platforms don't get. So I hope that projects within the platform continue to pay attention to the opportunity they have, not to just come in and try to make some money, because I'm sure that they will not get past the launch date.
Yeah, great point. Oh, I just want to add something else as well to that. And I think this is quite common in the NFT space recently, and I'm seeing it a lot more and more. I put a meme up about it the other day, and I've been talking to Super Terra, which is when Italians just change the pasta shape and rename it, right? And I think this comes down to original art, and it seems that in NFTs, and it's happening so much, is that so many people just take a concept that's already existed, tweak it a tiny bit, rename it, and launch it on a different blockchain. And, the project does well, or people are like, okay, we're going to buy this because it's the same project, it's going to have the same thing, but the art is pretty much the same art. It's the same, concept. And, I'd love to see more original concepts around that than taking an existing art that's been done and exists, and just, changing it a little bit and really going like, hey, how can we put thought into our art to make something that's, new? And obviously everything's going to have inspirations like everything in the world, right? But how can we come up with something that's different, not another Bored Ape Yacht Club that is just basically an ape that's got a different face,
Yeah, I think, ultimately, and I'll bring Terrain in a moment, that they are absolutely an example of a more original project with their kind of global photography based activities. I've been watching that with interest, but yeah, so many are copy paste, change, tweak, launch on another chain. In fact, one was really blatant, and I remember finding that the art had been stolen and they just blazoned it out And you can see that then, you know, it's blatantly, it's about a cash grab and it's about a quick run. It's something that, yeah, needs to be dealt with. But it is crypto, as you say, Simon. People will chance their arm. I wanted just to come back on Randall's other comment as well, which is quite interesting. So a project that launches, like you say, with a free mint, it sort of reminds me of sort of penny stocks. You know, you see a company that's absolutely garbage, a few voices get out there, the price gets spiked, people who obviously did the pushing and the shilling in the market walk away with the funds, and everyone else is left holding the baby. And you see a lot of that in micro caps and so on. And it's not quite the same, because obviously there isn't an initial upfront cost, but those who are obviously trying to, you know, shill it to sell it, you know, to picking up 10, 20 of them and then just cashing in immediately, have no desire to be in there for, you know, more than 20 minutes. The paint isn't even dry by the time they've sold. That's not a sustained project built on a sustained basis with a community build up, you know, the spaces and the other general engagement that's needed before a launch. That is essentially a quick turn and run, which we do see. So it's an interesting one. I want to bring in Terrain. You've got your hand up. I'm conscious, obviously. Andre is also up to speak, so looking forward to hearing from Andre as always. But first of all, Terrain, you had your hand up, and I think it was a nice segue into what I think you might be about to tell us.
Yes, I had the same thoughts on the relevance of what Simon and Randall were touching on there, because our project, and I can explain it as needed, but just being a really relatively small photography based project, I feel like more in the space of quality. But then we see things like you guys mentioned of, you know, just another animal with a few traits that they make 10,000 versions of, and, you know, they bring in 300,000 USD in a mint for what might be relatively little effort. I know a lot of those are doing more things with utility and things like that, but yeah, it's a tricky thing in this space. Is like, there's several projects of us on the smaller or medium size and a lot launching through Talus that I feel like have a lot of that more focus on quality and art, but aren't necessarily getting the same traction as the different kind of projects that don't have as much of a quality focus. So curious kind of the feedback there from the group and what you're looking for.
Okay. Let me just add something on this real quick. Something that, and I'm not saying it's necessarily a crutch, but it's something that you're going to struggle with a little bit more than a PFP series, for example. And I'll let Randall add in a second. So I think it's always about finding your niche. Okay. So, you know, like finding the niche with your particular, you know, art. I think creating partnerships is super important here. Dystope AI is a great example of someone who's created some partnerships. And even, you know, chatting to guys like, you know, like Lunart NFT and guys that are bringing on kind of real world artists that may not be in the same world. As far as PFP profile pictures, like there's going to be more traction currently in the space around identity and the communities that you're attributed to. So if you look at this, you know, if you look at these Twitter spaces, except for me and maybe someone else, pretty much almost everybody has a PFP profile picture on their Twitter. Everybody is identifying with a different community. They're identifying with a different project. They've attached their identity in some shape or form for social media to a project or to something that ties in either their values or something that they want to represent. You don't get that the same with a non-PFP project a lot of the time. And so you're going to find it a little bit harder to maybe cut through to that mainstream like adoption from that. And I'm not saying that like overall, but there's obviously, you know, like niches to go down that will give you a better thing, or finding the right partnerships. But I'll let Randall add more on this.
Thanks, Simon, and great points as well. I couldn't have said it better myself. And maybe just adding to what you said, where you need to find your niche, and I think your niche shouldn't just be about the people or the, you know, type of art. I can see a lot of times, and I can give examples as well of art that's been, there's a community within the Ethereum blockchain called 0x apes or something like that. And they're a community that literally have the Bored Apes as their picture, but the background is all yellow, right? So they went in thinking, okay, we're just going to make our own version of the apes because, you know, you'd have to mortgage out your entire life to buy an ape now. So they did that, and they actually found themselves a community. And I think sometimes it is a happy accident, but definitely something that they worked on as well. So I would say that even if you're going to do something that may resemble something else within the space, I mean, sometimes you have to give it where originality is hard to create over and over again. You know, when it comes to art, like if you're good at it, if you're good at drawing it, if you're good at creating more, I guess, versions of it, like, you know, through different generations, it's good because then you're offering something more that maybe the projects before you might not be offering. But I would have to say another example of like finding your niche in terms of the social aspect. And I am a big supporter of like women-led projects. I love investing into women-led projects, not to say that I've invested in the best ones, which are blue chip now. I was late to the party, which is quite normal for everyone, pretty much, I think. But yeah, like there was a movement, I think since December maybe, or even before December, sometime late last year, where there was a lack of female representation. And not to say that you have to associate yourself necessarily with female representation, but take the idea of inclusion and like really draw out. So I always love bringing this up, and like mind mapping, I think, is such an underrated tool. And underutilized tool, where you can look at inclusion and see within your community, because it's a lot smaller, you can focus on maybe how you would like to include people. So that can work towards building your own community, in fact. So there might be one or two outliers that connect with it, but they're going to go tell their friends. And if they have that much more passion towards your project, they're going to go onboard new people. Right? New people that connect with it. So you have to look at the opportunity beyond it. And by all means, I agree with the statement of if you're building just to mint out on day one, you are completely approaching your project in the wrong manner, because you're not allowing yourself to have organic growth. We always speak, and I'm sure you've heard about it so many times over, organic growth is so important. And that requires a lot of hustle, a lot of investment of time from your team, from yourself, into how you're going to actually build organic growth. Because it's not, I mean, you have to consider every project, whether you're on Terra, whether you're on Solnard, like wherever you may be, you are a business. And businesses don't become rich overnight. They don't become million-dollar businesses overnight. They take a lot of time, a lot of investment, a lot of hiring and employees, right? So they do a lot more in Web 2 than we would do in this space. We have to actually be quite grateful that in Web 3, we can be a group of friends. One of us can be an artist, or none of us can be an artist, but we can come in here with an idea, turn it into a reality, and have people connect with it. Like, how seamless has entrepreneurship become for us? So taking that, you know, that inspiration and aspiration to build something organic, you want to make sure that you're not looking for the end goal being, hey, in 2 months when we launch, we're going to mint out. That's our goal. Like, that's too much pressure. That's like asking a salesman for used cars to go make you $1 million as a target every month. You know, that, or even someone flipping burgers at McDonald's to make sure that you make $1 million out of that particular job role. Like, how are they going to do that? You haven't given them the opportunity to build on that, right? So you have to always think about longevity, and longevity, I mean years, right? Bored Ape now is completing, what, almost 2 years? Crypto Skulls, they've been doing since 2017, maybe. So that's already, what, 4 or 5 years down the line. So you have to consider, like, you want to evolve. So don't look at just one collection. And this is something I worked with Badgers with, and I loved what Badgers had as an idea. If you guys haven't had the chance to really hear about Badgers, like, their creativity on just the way they want to bring the project to life is such a great example that I haven't actually seen in a lot of projects. They're always like, yeah, this is our 10,000 piece collection. We're done. After that, we're going to do give backs. We're going to go donations. I mean, it's like saying, you know, I'm going to make lots of money and I'm going to give back. You should be thanking me that I'm doing that. It's such a standard, right? It's a standard. You have to give back. It is your sworn duty. It is an ethic of launching a project. It is the norm. So it doesn't make utility that much more dynamic for your community. You have to look at how are you going to give them something where they're going to be patient, they're going to appreciate the fact that they were patient with you. And through that organic growth, through finding your own, I guess, way of communicating your project, your own way of hosting a space and gathering people that are like-minded, or, you know, share that same passion towards what you're offering, like, you need to take your time with it, but don't wait till you launch to start it. Do it way before so people understand that when you launch, now it's time to just onboard, because that's another stage that's going to come in play.
I think absolutely that kind of pre-mint genuine, I emphasize the word genuine engagement, genuine build is really, really important. And I think with that in mind, I've seen a number of projects do that very well. Others that perhaps have literally had a group of individuals come in purely for mint, and then you've seen the discourse look like, you know, Wild West town after the sheriff's run out, the bad guys, just very quiet, very subdued. Ultimately, the successful projects are the ones that pivot, the ones that are creative. And I think with that in mind, it generally wasn't intended as a queue up, but we've got Andre, who very patiently has been waiting for a number of minutes to step up. So Andre is obviously involved in a number of projects, and I'm sure will bring us some very good insight from his perspective as well. So thank you for your patience, and the floor is yours, sir.
No, thank you. Cheers, Super Terra. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to kind of go a little bit full circle and come back to a few points that Simon was making early on. There's kind of three projects that really stand out for me, and one that I kind of forgot about just purely because it wasn't obviously as a headline for Terra NFTs, but the Strange Clan NFT project was one that I got to the party a little bit late on. And I only became interested after a meeting with one of their founders, Lex. And I was kind of introduced to him by another, I guess he's a kind of Cosmos influencer or podcaster on that kind of blockchain, a guy called Liam Connor. So after chatting with him, met with Lex and saw the platform, the Passage Metaverse that they're building, and was just blown away by you know, what that project can do or is doing and what they're going to be launching. So after seeing that, I had to ape in and get an NFT. So I ended up paying a reasonable price for a Strange Clan NFT. So I was a little bit late to the party, but the reason that I was interested in getting one of those NFTs was because of it gives you the ability to access the metaverse, gives you the ability to get an airdrop of the first drop of Passage tokens. So the way that they've kind of driven value back to their community is by providing all this extra utility alongside the NFT. And they've got a crazy, crazy community. Their Discord is just completely nuts. So yeah, that was the first one. And Simon's absolutely right, an incredible project.
One quick sec, did you listen to our Super Terra Nye's interview we did with them?
No, I didn't.
That's one that anyone should go back and listen to. We did a pretty in-depth interview with Ariel from Strange Clan, but we went not surface. We went really deep, so we didn't really go into the surface technicals of the project. But we went into really, really, really depth from kind of like the beginning stages and the conceptual nature of it. It's very worth listening to. Sorry, I cut you off, but I thought I'd bring that up.
No, great. I mean, I knew nothing about them until, like I say, Liam Connor mentioned something to me. We were as part of the LunaFest project, we're looking for a metaverse partner, and everybody kind of pointed us towards Passage. And I'll be brutally honest, I didn't know anything about them. But after we've had a number of demos and the team have been inside a number of their worlds and wandered around and seen how strong the kind of capability of that platform is, which just seemed like a bit of a no-brainer not to be talking to them. But yeah, it ended up costing me a lot of Atom to buy an NFT after that meeting. So yeah, it was an expensive meeting for me. But then back to kind of the Terra NFTs and talking about that kind of growth and community. Obviously, Galactic Punks was kind of one of the first blue chip community projects. And there was nothing really promised in the, you know, there was a little bit on the roadmap, but just the fact that it was the first kind of big NFT launch on Terra just meant that, you know, the early supporters of the NFT space on the blockchain decided to support it, and obviously sold out really quick. And you know, and over the period of the last few months, they've been building utility. So obviously the DAO formation, the ability to kind of vote what the DAO does with those funds, and that drives a sense of community. But then more recently, the launch of the staking and the rewards from those staking, obviously the Luart tokens, and I think it was the Messier tokens that are going to be airdropped back to people that stake their punks. So kind of they're driving value back. So that supply squeeze has obviously put a bit of a boost to the floor price of Galactic Punks. And then finally, the kind of the third one that I just wanted to pick up on, it was the first one you spoke about as well, Super Terra, was Luna Bulls. It was an insane community through the Discord XP grind back in the day. I think it was kind of maybe August, September time, as we were all kind of blasting away trying to get our XP up to make sure that we could get on the whitelist for that. But the team have worked super hard. I know that I can just see Coleman on there, just like, absolutely hats off to you, mate, with what you've been up to over over in Poland. Like, you just, yeah, the, you know, the epitome of like one of the best guys in Terra. And the whole team, like, just works super hard. Fizzy, Guy, the rest of the guys over there, just constantly building stuff. So that, you know, the team's been working hard, but the community has also been doing their own stuff. So it was one of the first ones where we saw these sub communities being built. Obviously, Iced Out were kind of leading the way with that and kind of building a bit of a premium. But more recently, and obviously they're really active and they're doing loads of collaborations and stuff. But I'm also a member, of the Caesars. We had actually a meeting this week about how we can do something a little bit different with our kind of sub-community. And we've got a number of ideas. A group of us have got together at looking at ways of being a bit more kind of charitable and philanthropic with what we're doing with our sub DAO, if you like. So along with the team doing all the cool shit that they've been doing with Tesseract and making everything metaverse ready and the baby balls, they've been constantly building. I think the community has also been building. So I think it's important that the team are as busy as the community to make the project a real success. Sorry, that was a massive ramble, Super Terra, but yeah, I just wanted to kind of squeeze all that in.
That was fantastic. I did tee you up as someone involved in many projects, so that was fantastic. The bonus being the Strange Clan reference. Simon's actually pinned the link to the interview that we did with thanks to our wonderful friends at Terra Spaces, who as always capture these events and save them so that people can come back to them later. We're not ones for self-promotion, Simon and I, but it is genuinely it's a fantastic experience talking to those guys, it's genuinely well worth a listen. But going back to your points, Andre, I'm in the process of getting myself ready to dive into a Strange Clan. It's not the easiest entry, and this is not intended as a promotional pun or push for them at all. Always do your own research, and this is not investment advice. But it's certainly a project that excites me, and I think they are possibly the first ones to truly make the metaverse work, I would suggest. I'm sure there are others out there, but I really like what they're doing. It's a very immersive and multi-layered project with so many different angles and aspects to it. It's great. But coming back to some of the other comments, clearly, you know, you're exposed, as am I, to a number of the key early now blue chip projects. I think it's great, and obviously we had the pleasure of Coleman as a speaker at one of our spaces a few weeks ago, and it was a really good insight. And again, I doffed my cap to him on the Poland activities, and I think we mentioned that on the spaces as well. He's doing some great things, and I think as a project, Luna Bulls, and I am a massive advocate of Luna Bulls, as you know, Andre, but they just keep innovating, and I think that's part of the secret to sustain interest and success. And there are, yeah, I've seen a number of other very, very good players that have already got that track record. And I can see a lot of new projects that are moving down that pathway as well. It's been one of the most lively spaces that we've had for some time, and that's a real compliment to everyone, and it's not a disservice to the other ones. Sometimes we have a small and intimate space, other times we have lots and lots of speakers. One is Step Forward. We share a love of a certain football team, but certainly I don't think we'll be talking about that in this space. That'll be a different one. But it'd be great to see that SM11SON is stepping up as well. So I'll give you the floor, sir, as well for some comments, and then we'll probably look to wrap up in the next few minutes.
Yeah, hi there, everyone. I just wanted to kind of continue on from what Andre was saying, really, about I think the sub-communities have really had quite a huge influence. Obviously, the Iced Outs kind of set the tone, and a lot of people wanted to kind of create similar things. But you know, you've got several now within the Lunar Bulls, you've got several in Hellcats. I think, you know, I've seen them in Skeleton Punks. I think those spaces where you kind of get a smaller amount of people, you kind of get to know them a bit more, and you know, people share all the information and little bits of alpha and advice really on different projects. So you know, although we do think sometimes we're a little bit oversaturated, I think it's maybe a good starting point, because those communities almost like self-polices the space, because as soon as anyone kind of looks at a project and thinks, oh, they're not really offering much, it quickly becomes like common knowledge. And you know, then with the Skeleton Punks rug, you know, it was, you know, her big brain like very quickly kind of let everybody know about it, so that it could be addressed, which it was very well. And then you've almost had like Rectwolf taking that knowledge sharing to a new level with all their kind of bounties and reviews that they do with projects. So I think those little sub communities might not even need to be NFT ones. You know, there's different Terra communities from different countries as well that share a lot of that knowledge. And I think that almost makes the space better. Yeah, like I said, it's self-policing, and I think the sub communities are a big part of that.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And again, we've touched upon this on some of the previous discussions. I think the way the subject communities in many cases have self-formed as well, I think is fantastic. Again, I encourage anyone, and we're not far off now, I think it's on the 10th of each month. I'm not a member, but I do listen in. The Iced Outs, try that after a few beers, the Iced Out Bulls, I should say, have their regular monthly spaces, and it's really informative, really interesting, and it's kind of an open door into, you know, some of the great things that community is doing as a kind of building community. There are lots of others. I'm a member of several. I use it with a small R. I've had several communities I've been members of, sub-communities, and they're kind of rugged in the person that set up some obscure trait and said, yeah, there's going to be 26 of us all with blue hats or some nonsense. And then I'll get a message saying, oh, you have a blue hat, it's such and such. And then about a week later, their Twitter's gone. So I think as well, in the sub-communities, there has to be a substance to them as well, and it's not just a me too opportunity of, oh, we've seen someone else do this, and so hey, we have, you know, crazy Stetsons or some nonsense. I think it has to be some sort of valid coming together of hearts and minds, and actually a sustained desire to create something. So there are a couple of smaller communities I'm in that do that, but other ones where it's almost I happen to have a certain trait and that's great, and whoa, and there's not really anyone driving it. So I think that's an interesting aspect as well, but it is good fun. You do get to know people well you wouldn't necessarily otherwise have interactions with in some cases. So I quite like that aspect of some of the communities. So I'm sure everyone on this call is in one way or another part of one or many sub-communities. So thank you for that, SM11SON. It's one of the most mouthful names on here as well, but that's absolutely fine. Any final thoughts? I did have someone I saw stepped up, requested, and then and then rugged. And now I'm sure it's probably just the technology, but I can see that Randall's got his hand up. So it'd be great to hear from you again, sir. And then probably back to Simon. Then we'll perhaps have a last sort of round of comments, unless anyone who's listening in desperately wants to step up and speak. Happy to keep it running for a few more minutes. But Randall, over to you, sir.
I just wanted to, well, thank you and congratulate you on you know, even last time when I popped into space, it was such a happy accident. And the fact that I'm getting to really expose myself to a platform and to, you know, a community that I never thought existed, if I'm very honest, and you kindly forgive me for my ignorance towards that. But I can say that I'm learning so much. I love the fact that it is focused on really learning and kind of sharing knowledge, but also maybe respecting the fact that you are part of a very small but very powerful community. And I, for the life of me, I don't know how to onboard myself into any platform. I did that with Polygon and that was a nightmare. So I know it's not a different platform, of course, but just buying into different currencies always drives me crazy because I end up losing. I end up making foolish mistakes. Having said that, I want to keep coming back here and learn more, but also hear about how you're growing within your own space together. It's such a different feeling. I have to really commend you all, yourself, Simon, and Super Terra, and your communities that come along with you. That it is something rare to see. It feels like, you know, if you guys continue, I definitely think you will be, in a year from now, the biggest competitor out there, where not so much on blockchain or cryptocurrency, I'd have no idea about those, but definitely on what it means to build strong, powerful communities, you know, communities that truly support beyond the value, the floor price, beyond the value of, you know, what it's trading at. Those who are really here to make an impact, I would say, or to at least leave the space better off than when they found it. So yeah, just wanted to give my appreciation to all of this that's happening.
We really appreciate you coming on and sharing your insights and coming in. And I know it can be kind of hard sometimes going to different chains, but I think once you get into the Cosmos and Terra ecosystem, it's then pretty easy to move around. There's a few nuances, and it's sometimes often the ETH to Terra Bridge that can be tough, but there's good tools for that as well. If you use, you know, Terra Bridge and stuff, it should be pretty straightforward to bridge over, and it's pretty cheap as well from that sense. So once you're in the ecosystem, once you're in Terra it and Cosmos, it's like it's like 1 cent transfers to cross chain in Cosmos and takes a second, and it's super easy. Like it's not much room for error, but it's just making that first step. I just wanted to add the final comment. You want to continue on?
Oh, no, I just wanted to say that I understood you in the beginning, and then you took me into Cosmos and chain, and then I completely got lost into space. Like I literally, excuse me, maybe I wasn't, but anyways, having said that, to add to it, I just wanted to give respect as well, because what tends to happen with me, especially when I'm freely just going into spaces and trying to contribute to the conversation, I end up getting a lot of DMs where it's like, oh, you don't know this. And it's like, you know, all of a sudden you're like welcoming the wolves of your space, but I've not found that, and I have a lot of respect for that. Just being able to be here and interact, and you know, it's one of the things I respect in any project, for that matter, where I can not necessarily buy into something that makes me feel like I'm a part of it, but just come in and learn and listen, and of course share and feel valued, like I am a part of it. So, you know what, I would be happy to understand how I could onboard myself to maybe be a part of anyone's project, for that matter. Of course, don't sell me like a project that's worth so much. Just because I trade on ETH doesn't mean I have money. Just a heads up on that. We are not all rich there. We are broke. That's why we're on ETH. We're just trying to make a bit more than we thought we could. But yeah, please, I would love to learn how to onboard and maybe do a bit more contributions. I find that I can do so much more than I'm doing right now, where I can, not to do with payment or not to do with anything related to getting anything for free, but really just contribute and add value to everyone's projects or whoever out there would like that. Please feel free to reach out to me. I'm more than happy. I am also working with Badgers closely, and I really want to contribute in a way where, you know, it just helps you build that confidence and success. And for everyone else, of course, you know, I think my knowledge is not exclusive to anyone. It is for everyone. And you will notice that when I share anything with someone, like on our calls, I try to be as open-ended, where I allow the creativity and the thought process to come from you rather than me. Because of course, what, you know, it should be subjective towards yourself, your efforts, your project. But anyways, not chilling myself either. I just want to be a part of this community. I love the knowledge. I love the energy and the fact that I feel so empowered, but also encouraged to just keep coming back.
I just want to add a closing remark. I know we've got some PS Labs on there, but and I think you gave a great example of that. And I think, and it ties perfectly into the topics of growth of community, right? So, you know, Superterra and I have been, you know, digging into this a bit as we've been in early stages of, you know, building our own stuff and our own project. And the reality is with community, it's a lot harder to build one from scratch than it is to start to leverage existing communities out there. So obviously you build your own community, but if you want growth in a community, and I mean, you see this with a lot of collaborations and stuff, but there's even more advanced ways of doing it. And it comes down to adding value, right? So if you want to build a community from scratch, and you do it one by one, and you go out on the grind, and you're not collaborating, and you're not adding value to larger communities, there's no leverage. So what happens is you it's very slow, and you start to build it up, but it takes a lot more time. If you're you know, adding real value to existing communities and existing projects and existing things around, right, you start to build a community that's leveraged off existing communities. And with NFTs, a lot of them can be different, but in Terra, it's not a lose-lose. So, you know, if there's a community of Lunar Bulls, for example, and a new project comes along that's great and they add value, there's no reason why those Lunar Bulls can't be a part of both projects and be involved in both projects. So it's not a competition. It's a win-win. So just, I think, projects finding ways they can add real strong value to communities, they can leverage existing communities rather than trying to build theirs up from scratch. As you know, building from scratch is great, but it takes time, and you're a lot better off with that leverage. And then from that, you start to build your own community, your own identity, and your own traits as well, as you get the momentum rolling. I think that's a great point for growth of community.
Yeah, and I just wanted to chip in before that and say thank you for your comments, Randall. I think one of the things that really appeals to me about Terra, and I put something out actually early today on Twitter, is it's a very open community, and we want to onboard people, want to help people to join the train and enjoy the ride with us. And there isn't that kind of prejudgment or barriers that you do find in certain other communities, where perhaps there's an almost an intimidating speak and a less open environment. I think we're trying to be the antithesis of that. Again, keep my teeth in. So thank you for that. And also, Simon, you made some very good points there as well. I'm conscious, I did say we're wrapping up fairly soon, but we did have two speakers set forward, one of whom, their name appears to be a series of symbols, a strawberry, coconut, and I think it's a grape. So apologies, I can't actually see on my screen because my phone is slightly frozen. But apologies, the floor is yours for your thoughts.
Hey, yeah, it's actually blueberries is the last one. Sort of, there's a group of people who have decided to make themselves fruit in the NFT space, and I just wanted to show my support for those people. So this has been a really interesting conversation. I've been in the kind of the Cosmos ecosystem and Terra ecosystem for a minute. Some of my like IRL friends are developers, and so it's been really interesting to see, especially the growth of Terra as a whole. And I guess my question is, so I'm like an artist, sort of like a one of one style artist person, but I'm kind of wondering like what all of your thoughts are on maybe where the ecosystem is going kind of in the NFT and kind of art space. Because I feel like we've had a lot of development in those categories sort of across like Ethereum and then sort of more so in Solana and Tezos as well. But I haven't seen like a lot of it necessarily in like the Terra space or in the Cosmos space. I know that there is Stargaze, so that's pretty new. But it seems from most of those that they're not necessarily like they're generative collections, but they're not even quite community collections, and they're not quite art yet. So I think it still feels very early, and I'm wondering what y'all's thoughts are on that.
So in terms of, I guess in terms of your general question there, in terms of what, are you talking about sort of maturity of the ecosystem or maturity of the NFT market? I mean, I can only really speak for Terra. And I think, as I mentioned earlier on the call, and apologies, I don't know, obviously, when you joined, this is a big sea of images in front of me. But in essence, the NFT market in Terra has only really been going for, even being generous, 8-9 months. It feels a lot longer because there's been so much by way of development. And I'd argue in terms of the development of the protocols that support the Terra ecosystem, the very first ones, Anchor and Mirror, have only been in existence for just over a year or so. So again, it's a relatively recent to the environment. So if you're looking from a maturity factor, I would say that we're in, I'd argue, the third phase. So the first phase was obviously the first few years, where there was initially just the one token, and yes, the developments that Doquan and Terraform Labs did. Phase two, development of the early stage protocols, which really was a very rapid phase of growth. And I'd say phase three was maturation of secondary protocols that build on the primaries, and also the significant growth of NFTs as a separated, differentiated market. That's really massively simplifying it. But I'm sure, I don't know if anyone else wants to chip in with their thoughts, and I probably not really fully directly answer the question because it's quite late to my time. So my brain's getting to the fry that perhaps Simon had at the start of the call. So if anyone else wants to chip in, feel free to do so.
Is it all right?
Yeah, I'm great.
So first of all, I can see, yeah, absolutely, PS Labs. I haven't forgotten you. I was going to bring you in as the next speaker anyway. But if you want to chip in on this directly, fantastic, and welcome to the call.
Thank you, by the way, for inviting me. But I was actually just going to lead off onto another question. I don't think I have much more to contribute because I'm pretty new to the whole space as well. So actually, you and Simon are probably the best people to contribute some real value there.
Yeah, no problem at all. I can see. I'll defer to Badgers first. I can see Badgers has a hand up. But thank you, PS Labs. We'll come back to you for your question in a moment.
Yeah, so I'm answering Strawberry Blueberry's question here, and it's something we've been dealing with ourselves as well. So we're doing a profile picture project right now, but both me and Natalie are artists ourselves, and for now on Terra there's not really a lot of space for just art. I mean, we have Telus, which is amazing, it's an amazing concept, but other than that, the real art vibe, the one-on-one projects, I think those are still about to go off. I mean, most people on the Terra NFT space are really looking for that utility. And I think we're in some kind of schizophrenic stage where a lot of artists, including ourselves, are trying to find utility to link with art, because art on its own seems to be not good enough for most Terra people. I don't know what everybody else's thoughts are on this, but that's our perception for now.
In terms of normal art, you've got platforms like Luna NFT coming out, that will be more tailored towards real world art and connections into the real world. So that's one piece. Second piece is understanding, I think this Terra is so large in the crypto space right now, but, and I talk about this a lot from a protocol level, from an NFT level, there's almost a false sense of the size that we are. And understanding that the liquidity in Terra is still not that high for NFT projects. It's still not that high for projects that, you know, like even protocols. Like I was, if you look at the market cap of most projects and protocols on Terra compared to their volume or compared to their amounts of, you know, total value locked they have. But for those that don't know this part of crypto, don't worry about it too much. But it's very, very low as in comparison to other ecosystems. So there's a lot of money in Luna. There's a lot of money in Anchor, but there's not necessarily a huge amount of money in NFTs just yet, or in alternative protocols. And so we kind of lured into this false sense that the Terra ecosystem is massive, but there's only 26 protocols built on Terra, and there's not a huge amount of liquidity for NFTs in this space just yet. So there will be room for that stuff, and it's going to take a bit of time. But currently, we're still in a real uptrend Luna phase where most of the capital flows into Luna, right? Flows into either Anchor or it flows into Luna. That will start to spread out into the ecosystem. And as the space matures, yes, we will see more rugs. Yes, we'll see more scam projects, which we haven't had yet, which is still a sign that we are really early. And then from that, we will, you know, then the money will start to flow into the rest of the ecosystem, and you'll bring in a lot of ETH people over, and you'll start to see this originally likely this first powerful stage of great projects, but then the rugs will also come as well. So it's understanding that part as well, and we've got to set that precedent. Go ahead.
Sorry, guys, we had a bit of a, I was going to say, I could see Badgers had your hands up, but I think also Strawberry... Strawberry Coconut also was about to say something. So Badgers, do you want to chip in first, and then back to Strawberry, and then obviously conscious that PS Labs is keen to ask a question, and then I think we'll probably look to do a wrap after that point. So Badgers, the floor is yours again.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that one of the main challenges for Terra NFTs and the people interested in Terra NFTs is like onboarding new members, because when you see the big Telegram of Terra NFTs, it's 2,500 people. There's only a few people you see on the daily. When you see people buying NFTs, it's always the same people. So the real challenge is also going to be like expanding our community in general, not just project-based communities, but the community in general. That's going to be the main challenge, and that's also when there's going to be more opportunities. And unfortunately, like what Simon said, more rugs and more shit hitting the fan.
I think the key is the growth, and at the moment it is a very small in relative terms community. So no, I think excellent point. Strawberry Coconut, was it Blueberry? Do you want to step forward again, sir? I think you were going to say something, and then we'll move on to PS Labs' question before wrapping up. Or are you good? You're all fruited out. Let's move on. So PS Labs, you've been incredibly patient. If you want to sort of ask your question, please fire away, sir.
Hi, everyone. My name in real life is David. And so for anyone who doesn't know what our project is, we basically use AI to generate images, and then we mint them as NFTs for people, and we like airdrop it back into their wallets. And that essentially at the heart is like the project, starting with still images. We're working on GIFs, and that'll be out soon, and then we'll do animation and all these different things, sort of all these different media and content formats. But so my question, right, is actually I had a few questions, but Simon did like a really good job of like summarizing at the end of other people's questions, so he answered a lot. But essentially for our project, I'm like really into like the building side of like the lab and the sort of the actual service side of what we do,
has been like my primary focus for the first month. We're only a month old. But the thing is, I know that the real value of what we're doing probably lays like sort of 4 or 5 months down the line, when the lab, which is like sort of our community collection, which is all like been made and rendered by people in the community sending in their prompts, when that really starts to grow and starts to hit like a critical mass. And one thing that I've been thinking about is how to build around that in terms of how, because the community is really strong. It's almost like the community is like willing it forwards, and it's been a really crazy experience. And I'm just going to try, I just wanted to sort of, I've been sort of just thinking to myself most of the time. So I wanted to try like open this question up to people who have like a lot of experience in this space to say like, how would you imagine sort of something like the lab collection to be sort of built out to maximize sort of the community engagement, to maximize the value that we give back to them, and sort of things like that. Because I don't think it really works in the same way that many other collections are working. So I just and then the idea of how to build around it is something that I've just been like thinking a lot about recently. Maybe if someone doesn't understand the project, then it might be difficult to answer. But I know that you, Superterra, are a bit familiar with it. So yeah, that's basically my question. Is we have like this collection which is growing every single day. And we, in the next few months, will have to start building around it, like community functions and community aspects. I wanted to see if anyone, I guess I'm looking for consultation in some ways, because I am quite new and I'm just basically in this massive building phase. And I haven't really sought any sort of second opinions on things. So that's my question. Please let me know if you need me to clarify anything.
That's a heck of a question. Thank you. Thank you, David. And obviously, although we've not spoken before, in a voice sense, we have exchanged some messages. For me, again, given the time of night and the state of my brain, having been up since 5:30 this morning, I'm probably not going to give you the greatest of answers. But what I will say is the way that you started your project, and obviously it caught my attention a few weeks ago, and I've written a couple of articles around it. You've brought it in as, you know, a low-cost engagement mint, which I think is a great start, but also you've allowed the community to really evolve their own creations. And I've done a few, I think I've shared a few on social. And I think in terms of where you go next, your strength is actually already what you're doing, which is you've built a community very quickly who are very engaged with the capabilities that you know, the PS labs are running. As for how you gain a value around that main collection, which is essentially created by the community, I guess for me, and this is purely my own opinion and it's not, you know, offered as professional advice, it's how you then curate it so that there's some clear themes and elements around it that perhaps you can then package up as that first collection. But I think probably requires a fresher me for a conversation and a deeper discussion. Now, there may be other people on this call who are familiar with PS Labs and the Terra X collection, which was a very impressive initial mint, 5 UST for a range of items, and it was launched and sold out very quickly. But the real utility around it was the fact you could engage, you could create your own, if you like, prompt-led AI creations, and I think that's been a huge viral success. So again, probably a long answer to your question, but I would say the building blocks that you're already starting with are absolutely the community that you're building around the pieces. As I say, I'm hearing this fresh, so I can't give you a more detailed answer. But my own thoughts, as someone who's been involved engaged with the project, I like what you're doing. I think it's really interesting. It's really innovative, but
I probably need a greater and in-depth discussion and perhaps more back and forth than perhaps I could do justice to at the end of a long spaces. Happy to sort of hand over to others for thoughts, or perhaps we might
wrap up.
But certainly, PS Subs, I know you and I are planning to have a conversation later this week. Maybe we kind of take that as a deeper piece. But as I would say, I don't know if this is your first time on our spaces, we do encourage open debate and discussion, and perhaps that's an opportunity for a future spaces event. So any very brief thoughts, and then as per Simon's suggestion, this is possibly the longest space we've done for some time, which is great, by the way, but we'll look to wrap up.
I'll just say, thank you so much. I'll just basically sort of, we'll have another talk later during the week, as you said, and this is very much on my mind right now, and thank you for your answer, and thank you, Simon. Actually, your sort of the way you summarized a bunch of questions earlier really helped me to sort of think and plan about what maybe we want to do with our community and how we build it out. So, yeah, thank you so much. I don't really ever join any of these talks, so I'm going to join more of them and try to get a bit more involved. So, thank you so much.
Yeah, and we can relate because we've been going through this kind of similar steps as well, and adding and working how to add value to creating a project and stuff as well. So we're aware of that. I think we're going to wrap up. It's pretty late for Super Terra. It's a good time for me here, but we've had a good hour and a half. We appreciate all of you guys for jumping on the call. We do these at the same time every single week. We do change topics, so it's not always NFTs, but we've had a really good trend with NFTs, and we seem to have some pretty good engagement. And we've got Rec Wolf up here, and we've got some. It's really awesome to have you guys up and sharing your thoughts. I think we can add a lot of value to this community and continue to build out this community the way that we want it. Overall, across different projects, even with their different sub communities. Thanks for jumping on, and thanks to all the speakers as well, Randall and everyone, and Badgers for adding so much value.
Yeah, and I'd certainly reiterate that. I think these spaces really work because of that interaction. So thank you. We've had a really good broad range of speakers on today's topic. And I think if it was earlier in the day, my time, I'd probably go on for another half an hour or 45 minutes. But I fear that otherwise I will be wrecks in the morning. Because alas, I'm one of the many that is balancing a day job with this as my leisure activity, as I'm sure a lot of you on this spaces can relate to. So no, thank you very much to everyone. Really, I always enjoy doing these. This is one of the reasons we do it. We very much enjoy it. Look forward to speaking to you all again this time next week. And indeed, there may be some intermediate spaces. Simon and I are quite known for doing spot interviews and so on. So please keep an eye on those as well. And obviously, thanks as always to our friends at Terra Spaces for doing an excellent job of listening firstly to all the audio and working through and making it sound so much better, taking out the glitches and taking out the long pauses and the bits at the start and what have you. So really, really thoroughly appreciate you guys as well. Thanks again to all the speakers. Have a wonderful rest of the day / evening, afternoon, wherever you are in the world, and speak to you again on a Spaces very soon.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Super Terra Space, Terra NFTs, Community Dynamics and Growth. What are the key drivers? Recorded on Monday, April 4th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Have you heard about the new Terra Invest Strategy Discord server Orbital Command spun up? If you're looking for a chill place to chat about different Luna stacking strategies, or looking for some alpha, or if you're trying to find the best UST farms, or even if you just have a quick question you need answered, be sure to stop by TIS and say hi to the Orbital Command gang. Hell, I'm even in there sometimes when I'm not editing hours of CFI spaces. You can find me in that server chatting about NFTs and answering basic Terra Luna questions. The link to the server is in the show notes, and for more information, check out orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
Mutation. It is the key to our evolution. It has enabled us to evolve from a single-celled organism into the dominant species on the planet. This process is slow, normally taking thousands and thousands of years. But every few hundred millennia, evolution leaps forward.
Diving through the forest, looking for the door to the portal. Said it'll take me down a corridor. I'm ignoring the warning, storing importance. The core looks sourced from ancient coordinates. Smells like musty mutants, trust me. I've been hunting bugs since the leaves started rustling. I must be getting close, yo, the scene is disgusting. Parasitic mutations leeching off the country. Grab a couple samples and defy their custody. Feeding gamma rays to the beast at peak velocity. Mutating awesomely, pre-say don't wanna me. Taking all the scraps and feed them to the lottery. Always evolving to defy the possibly. These are the things that will scream irresponsibly. Feeling uneasy, these genes get them off of me. I don't mean to trip, but am I mutating properly? We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this. Breathing getting heavy, I can feel it in my arms, but I can't stop now.
Mutation.
It's an art form, don't be alarmed. If you see me looking odd when I'm out on the farm, spinning crop circles in your yard, reaching the stars, need a way to get across. Got this little
mutation,
lets me hack key cards. Scene looking like it came out the first three saws. Flexing like Rex when I mutate the precog. Leaders trying to research this genetic seesaw. Give me all the science and we'll leave you with the pre-slaw. Writers believe they bleed these endorsements, turning scientists into terrorist supporters. Gotta seize the spoils and release the spores. It's time to forage through DNA lore. So sink it or swim, silly Alice, take the pill and see. We're all mad here, taking over your facility. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this.
Terra Spaces.